Good afternoon, and welcome to Who's in the Kitchen. You're listening to WDRT Community Radio, coming from the Driftless area, southwestern Wisconsin, broadcasting from Viroqua, Wisconsin. And call number is 91.9 FM, and streaming live on the internet at WDRT.org, where you can go listen to previous shows on our archives. Who's in the Kitchen? I'm Philothea Beeson, and my guest today is Lois Anderson. We're doing this interview via phone because Lois lives in Port Edwards, Wisconsin, and we are going to be talking about raw food and you know, plant-based food as for health and for healing. And just to say, Lois has really just made this a mission in her life. She's called a health minister with Hallelujah Acres, and she's a raw food chef. And I know I've been to one of her classes. She does much education of people, and she's well qualified to talk about this topic. So welcome, Lois.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
What's really cool about Lois, I think, is the second way I met her is that she comes to the Viroqua Food Co-op frequently from Port Edwards to shop because she finds things at our co-op that she can't find elsewhere or the quality that she's looking for. So that's a real feather in our cap. And so sort of re-met Lois through the Viroqua Food Co-op. So tell us about, you know, how you got into this. You weren't always eating raw food, I bet.
No, I wasn't. Actually, when my dad was 68 years old, he had two very severe strokes, was partially paralyzed on the left side, and the face was disfigured on that side. He'd been reading about healthy ways of living, but hadn't really applied it to his life until he had those strokes. The doctor said, I can't do anything more for you but give you a pill to keep you from having another one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he started doing what this book said and took a lot of supplements and kept reading and studying. And he'd go to his appointments with the doctor, and eventually he weaned himself off of the medication, was only taking the supplements, didn't tell the doctor this. And I wish I knew the time frame, but it wasn't very long that the doctor said, you're fine, you don't have to come back. And so he eventually found out about what I now teach, the raw food plant-based diet, 85% raw foods, 15% cooked vegetables. And within 1 year, the paralysis were gone. The face all straightened out, the body got its strength back, and he lived to be 93 years old.
My
we would never have had him that long.
Goodness.
And I was watching all this happen in 1980, I was about 35. He said to me, I challenge you to do this now so that you don't have to look forward to old age diseases that I have and your mom has. He not only had strokes, he had hardening of the arteries, he had arthritis and sinus problems. Mama had a lot of osteoporosis, lung problems. And because I started way back then, I have none of these problems in my life. And so I'm so thankful that I started back then. I'm 80 years old, and I take no kind of medications whatsoever.
Well, congratulations. That's just really wonderful. And so did you find some books that you were going by or some experts, or how did you get started?
He shared some books with me, and then I found a lady that had, you know, was selling books from several different authors. And I keyed into her and found out about Hallelujah Acres. And, you know, and then eventually went to North Carolina for my training. And so that's how I got started with just finding. I think my first book was by a couple that was talking about that we don't have to be sick anymore. And so that really turned me on. I really
yes.
thought that's what I want to do.
Right. And now Hallelujah Acres, I'm not familiar with that. Are they a publishing company or a retreat center or, you know, education center?
They do have a retreat center, but they started out with having trainings for people that wanted to be health ministers, and I had gone to one of those, and then after that they would have like get-togethers for all the health ministers, and I went to that for several years too, but now it's all online. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they do have a retreat center where you can go and just be immersed in the whole lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. And that's in North Carolina.
North Carolina is where Hallelujah Acres is located, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. So part of it is just learning kind of some basic principles, I'm sure, and then going to, well, what do you eat?
Yeah, right.
So let's talk about that. I mean, what are the guiding principles of your ministry or your teaching?
My teaching? eating 85% raw fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, and never cooking anything but a few vegetables. There's a pH balance in our bodies that is regulated by what we eat. And if we eat too many acid foods, then that's when we get sick. If we eat enough alkaline foods, then we stay well. And all the alkaline foods are all the raw fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds. And so that's what I base my whole diet on.
Oh, I see. I think I heard of a book a long time ago, Eat Alkaline or Die, or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, uh-huh. I have that book.
Yeah, uh-huh. So that's kind of the guiding principle. And, you know, one of my experiences with a raw food diet was it seemed like there was a lot of sugar because there's a lot of fruits. But maybe you can comment on fruits and vegetables and nuts and what they provide.
Okay. Well, yes, fruits do have sugar in them. But one of the things that God did when he created it is he put fiber in it. If you remove the fiber, then, yes, you have a lot of sugar. But the fiber in the fruit causes it to digest slowly, so it's not causing spikes in our bodies. To me, the green vegetables and green leafy things are the most important in my diet because greens are just so nutritionally dense. And so whenever I make a smoothie, yes, I put fruit in there, but I put a lot of greens in there too, and I also put some seeds or nuts, some kind of a protein in there as well. And I have a 9-week class that I do teach, but I haven't done that for a long time. But it just goes step by step, helping you to get started. And when I got started, I just started with changing what I ate for breakfast. I had fresh fruit for breakfast instead of like oatmeal or eggs and toast and all that kind of stuff. Because in the morning, our bodies are eliminating what it digested during the night. And so you don't want to eat anything heavy in the morning to disturb that elimination. So that's where I started when I first started out.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure then you probably aren't advocating juicing. Or are you having fruit juices? Because that there's no fiber in the juice, right?
Right.
It's just sugar.
Yeah. Hallelujah Acres emphasizes juicing, but vegetables.
Vegetable, so, right.
So when I juice, I do carrots, greens, some celery, and I do put a little bit of apple in there, but that's a very small part of it. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, there's too much sugar mm-hmm. in the juices. So, yeah.
Now, I went through a class with someone who had been, it wasn't Hallelujah Acres, but it was someplace in Florida where she mm-hmm. did a kind of an intensive few weeks on raw mm-hmm. foods to really recover from some bad kidney situations that she had in her own health. And she came back and did some classes, and I got to take a class with her. And one of the things we had to do was get a really good juicer. So you might want to talk to us about juicing vegetables is not just simply putting them in a blender or something, or a juicer.
No. I started out with a Champion juicer,
mm-hmm.
and just recently I got a newer kind of a juicer. It's a cold-pressed juicer. Champion is not a cold-pressed juicer. You get more nutritional value out of a cold-pressed, and it's called an Anama J2. That is the newest technology out there right now. And all you have to do is cut your vegetables up a little bit, throw it in the hopper, push the button, and away it goes. And it's so much easier than the Champion for me anyway. As I've gotten older, the Champion was really hard for me to operate, you know. I was shoving all the carrots and stuff through. But those are, and there's a green star juicer that's very excellent too. That's a cold press juicer. People just have to go by, you know, what they can afford.
Mm-hmm. They are like a couple of $100, right?
My Namajay 2 was $400.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But if this is how you're going to eat, this is a tool you really need to use.
Yeah.
Right.
I always say you either eat right and have the right kind of tools to keep yourself healthy, or you pay the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Well, tell us a little bit about organic. I'm sure if you're going to go with fruits and vegetables, you want organic, right?
Right. You do. And when I first started out, I couldn't afford the organic. But the more I got into it, the more I saw the importance of it. And I get as much organic as I can. I can't get everything up here organic, but I do the best I can. But when I bring it home, I always wash my stuff really good. I put water in the sink and a good dump of white vinegar, mm-hmm. and I let my stuff soak in the sink for a while to strip anything off of the, even the stuff that you peel, you need to clean, because when you run a knife through that skin, you're pulling contaminants into the flesh of the fruit.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I wash everything, and then I have these really nice, I bought some glass containers, have the snap lid on them. Mm-hmm. And then I store them in my refrigerator in these glass containers, so then whenever I need anything, they're all washed, they're all ready to go.
Oh, I see. Okay, and so what are some of the fruits that you like to use, and why?
I guess it's stuff that I, just because I like them, you kind of go by what you like, you know, oranges, apples, mangoes is one of my big-time favorites, peaches.
Berries, too?
Oh, berries, all kinds of berries. Mm-hmm. I get most of my berries frozen because they spoil so easy if you buy them fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So those all go into my smoothies.
So frozen is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's one reason why you come to the food co-op. We have a lot of organic fresh produce.
It was wonderful. I got all kinds of different kinds of greens while I was there. It was beautiful.
We really are lucky that we have so many Amish greenhouses in the area that supply mm-hmm. the food co-op. We really have fresh greens year-round and in
wow.
Wisconsin.
That's
and
awesome.
It's just really wonderful. So that would be, you know, just one wonderful reason for, you know, making the drive to Viroqua, because we really have the growers. We have the growers. And, of course, there's this advantage of eating locally. I mean, eating food that's grown, you know, in your region, right?
Absolutely. In fact, when I buy my honey, I always buy it locally. They claim that's the best.
Right. Bees fed on, you know, local food.
Yeah.
So do you want to speak a little bit more about eating locally and eating seasonally?
Well, that's the wonderful thing about our grocery stores, that we can do that. And I don't keep track of so much about what is seasonally. I guess I haven't really gotten into that. I just buy whatever I need at my local grocery store. And my local grocery store does have quite a bit of organic available.
Good. Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad mm-hmm. for that.
Well, you can see if you're eating locally, you are going to eat seasonally. You know,
oh, sure.
We're about the end of strawberry season, you know, or they're about
yep.
the end of rhubarb season. You know, food is seasonal, and if you're getting strawberries in December, they're not local.
No.
They might not even be from the U.S.
They certainly yeah. don't taste very good.
No, they hardly are. What that's a wonderful thing about eating seasonal food is that it's just delicious. And sometimes
yeah.
you realize that most of the year peaches and things like that, I mean, they're not ripe. So they can be shipped and they don't spoil.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of things in the food industry that make food not as delicious and healthful as something right off of your own tree.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I found I had some peach trees that, not peach trees, plum trees, wild plums that were just absolutely delicious, but they spoiled as soon as you pick them. I thought they'll never make it to a market. They'll only make it to my kitchen.
That's right.
But
do you freeze them?
You can freeze them, and you can also dry them too. I'm a big user of my dehydrator. What do you think about drying things?
Oh, I do too. I make my own crackers, and another thing that I do in my dehydrator is that whenever I buy my nuts and my seeds, I always soak them first in filtered water, and then I put them in the dehydrator to get them crispy again. The reason I do that is because when God created them, He created them with a coating on them. It's called an enzyme inhibitor. And until the seed or nut gets wet, it won't grow. And so that hinders us from digesting them well. And so then I soak them to get rid of that enzyme inhibitor, and then I put them in my dehydrator to get the crunch back so they don't spoil.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really interesting. Okay, yeah. Each remark you make, I'm just taking notes and thinking, oh, I want to ask this question, I want to ask this question. So you can dehydrate vegetables. I know I've tried to dehydrate some things that just take hours. I always dehydrate my tomatoes.
That's a real juicy one, so it takes a long time.
It does. And I tried dehydrating onions. I thought, oh, I'll have dried onion. It took me just forever. I thought, I think just keep my onions in the basement and just eat them fresh.
What kind of dehydrator do you have?
Excalibur.
Yep, that's what I've got.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about keeping. Do you have a root cellar, or you try to keep things?
No, I put all of my, anything that I dehydrated, put them in a mason jar, and then I just recently got a new gadget that sucks the air out of it, and the new lids that are on there are really, really tight, so that that helps to preserve them, especially my crackers, because my crackers can pick up moisture and then not be crispy anymore, so they go in the quart jars. But you know, I don't do a lot ahead. I use them up quickly enough to where I don't need to.
Right.
Worry
and
about.
And do you have a garden, or where are you mostly purchasing your food?
I'm mostly purchasing. We can go to our farm markets now.
Right. Right.
So that's what I'm going there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And can you say a little bit? I mean, I'm just jumping all over, but glass versus plastic?
It's very, very important, because that plastic gets into our food and gets into our body, and it can even mess with the brain, is the last thing I've heard. Even if you drink water out of these plastic bottles, and when you take that cap off, it kind of does something, and some of that plastic from that lid gets into the water. They said it's so dangerous for our brain. When I figured this out, I got rid of all my plastic out of my house, my containers that I was putting my food in the refrigerator. And it's not cheap, but I went on Amazon and found glass containers so that I could keep my greens and some of my fruits and things like that need in a container.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so important to use glass, and drink out of glass, definitely.
Right. That's one of my little things that I'm advocating for, is reducing use of plastic. Just get it out of the. We'd like to get rid of the packaging. It's just so convenient, and everybody's using it. But it looks so pretty, and you can see the food and all this stuff. But good old glass is really wonderful.
Absolutely.
And can be reused forever.
Yeah.
When we bought our land, there was an old basement. The house had been gone, but the old basement was filled with bottles and cans, tin cans and jars.
Wow.
And you know what? We rescued all the jars and washed them out, all the mason jars. We washed them out. I mean, who knows? I mean, they're like 40 years old or something.
Sure.
And they were washable, and then we used them again.
Absolutely. Just put them in dishwasher, sterilize them.
Right. So I'm talking with Lois Anderson. She's just really you know, kind of interesting and so full of information. And if you're interested in hearing this show again, you can go to our archives. You're listening to Who's in the Kitchen. I'm Philothea Beeson. I'm coming from Viroqua, Wisconsin, on 91.9 FM, WDRT, Community Radio. And I'm talking with Lois Anderson on the phone from Port Edwards, and I have met her a couple of times, and I thought it would be really fun to hear about her show. Now, and, you know, what she has done and how she helped really, you know, healed her dad, and he lived, you know, another 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, I mean, it's an amazing story, and she's very healthy. As, you know, a senior, as I am too, I'm really interested in this stuff. And over the years, I've been learning more about it. But I've had some people on the show who are advocating, say, veganism, plant-based. And you are plant-based, but it's also raw.
Yes.
So what's the difference between those two approaches to diet?
I'll give you a little example. If you took one carrot and you cut, three carrots, you cut the ends off of them and put them in water. One was raw, one was boiled, one was steamed. Which one would grow?
Oh, I see. You want to eat live food.
We don't want to leave live food. My dad always said, if you want to be lively and healthy, eat live food. If you want to, you know, get sick and die, eat dead food.
Well, you know, the deadest food is the preserved food.
Oh, yeah.
Because absolutely. Preservatives are made to keep the food from, you know, spoiling.
Yeah.
Which means it's dead.
Yes.
Because live food spoils, right?
Yeah.
Live food has, has a brief life. And then, you know, except for some things that you can really, you know, roots you can store for a long time. But most fruit is very fragile.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, vegetables too, as we know. Mm-hmm. So just being plant-based isn't the same as being, you know, raw food-oriented.
You can be a junk food junkie on a plant-based diet.
Hey, you
could. Buy all the stuff that's in, you know, the processed meats, you know, that are supposed to be meatless.
Right.
All kinds of stuff like that. You can be plant-based but still be sick.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yes, there's all these new foods that are imitating real food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're trying to avoid processed foods, you really don't want to eat something that is ultimately processed for vegetables to taste like meat and things like that.
Yeah.
that's well, processing.
I have recipes that I make that don't really taste like meat, but they're a good substitute, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure people are going to ask you about protein. Where are you getting your protein? You don't think of fruits and vegetables as containing a lot of protein, but
this is a new fact that I just learned, and it's so exciting. When God created protein, He created it only in plants. If animals have protein, it's because they ate the plants.
Mm.
Now, there are some plants that are higher in protein than others. Pumpkin seeds are one of the highest in protein.
I suppose really the seeds and nuts.
Seeds and nuts are high in protein. Mm-hmm. Your legumes are too. it's better if you sprout them rather than cooking them.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they're very high in protein, too. But, you know, I think when they set those levels of how much protein that we need, that the government set, they set it because the standard American diet, you know, your body doesn't assimilate a lot of the protein, and so you're not getting as much as you think you're getting. Going by their regulations. But with the raw foods, the body assimilates all that stuff so much better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not what you eat, it's what you're assimilating.
That's a very good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had to speak about sprouts. Speaking of something live to eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very high in protein. I haven't researched on what, you know, the levels of protein, but, yeah, the sprouts are very high. And they say they're just nutritious giants. because they're, you know, they're so young, and all of that nutrition is, hasn't been used to grow the full plant.
Oh, okay. So tell us a little bit about sprouting. If people have never done sprouting, how do they get going? What should they buy?
First of all, our health food store has this little gadget called Easy Sprouter, and it's plastic. That's the only drawback on it. But you can use a glass jar with a mesh top on it, mm-hmm. put your seeds. But basically, you're soaking them in water for several hours, getting rid of the water, and then rinsing them at least a couple of times a day until they sprout, and then you put them in the refrigerator. I just recently found out you can either freeze them or dehydrate them.
Oh, really?
They do spoil quite easily. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of some new tips that I just learned.
You can freeze sprouts. Now, that just seems contraindicated.
Well, I just throw them in my smoothie, and it doesn't matter if they're frozen or not, because they do get slimy after a while in the refrigerator.
Right, they do. You really have to keep rinsing them, and they won't last forever. But I guess if you got them straight from the freezer and put them into your smoothie, they would be like fresh in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you left them out, they would deteriorate fast after they thawed out.
Right.
And you can also, so tell us the kinds of seeds and so forth that you can sprout. Will they all
sometimes
sprout?
Sometimes you can get what they call a sprouting mix. It has several different kinds of of greens in it. Lentils, you can sprout them. French lentils are especially nummy.
Mm-hmm.
It just any kind of seed, actually. I guess if you buy them from these online companies, they make sure that they're going to sprout. I don't know if you buy them like from a company that's just meant to, like peas and lentils and things like that, I'm not sure they would always sprout. So getting it through a company online that they produce them
for sprouting.
Sprout,
yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And what about nuts? Can nuts sprout?
Yes, they can.
They can.
When I soak my almonds, because I soak them for 8 hours, you can see the little end of it poking out already just in 8 hours. Yeah.
So even when it's a little tiny sprout, it's good to eat. You don't have to wait until they're like an inch or two.
No.
It's a process.
Yeah.
That the seed is going through. Once it sticks its little shoot out, it's already a sprout now.
Yes. Although like nuts like walnuts or pecans, that kind of stuff doesn't sprout. But sunflower seeds are excellent sprouted.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Sunflower seeds. Yes, and I had some sunflower shoots a couple of years ago, and I was just smitten with those. You can put those in they can be like 2 inches long. They taste fabulous, and you can put them in a salad. And you can buy flats and grow shoots like that. I did that for a while. Well, when I did my raw diet, I sprouted, peas. Mm-hmm. And we had pea shoots and sunflower shoots and ate them 3 times a day in salads.
Wow.
Yeah, boy, were those good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that kind of makes me think about another product of the seeds and nuts is oils. What do you use for oils? Or do you have an opportunity to use oil that much?
I use some. My one cracker that I make, I use olive oil in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some of my salad dressings that I use olive oil in.
Mm-hmm.
I usually stick to either olive, the cold-pressed olive oil or the cold-pressed coconut oil are the two that I stick to. But I don't use a lot of it because I've got a Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, who is a cardiologist. He, of course, those are people that need to get well from it, but he takes them completely off of oil, but he said you can do it sparingly if you don't have that problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because there are benefits to having oils in your diet, if they're the right oils.
The right oils, that's right.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's a lot of talk about seed oils and avoiding seed oils.
Absolutely.
And one reason is just the tremendous processing and using heat and chemicals and stuff like that. It's not just like,
yes.
Taking a bunch of seeds and grinding them up and getting the oil or pressing them.
Yeah.
So, and some, I guess, I mean, they're just doctored up and perfumed and everything to...
Yes, because yeah. they're rancid. By the time they get to go in the bottle, they're rancid, so they have to do something to cover up the smell.
Okay, so that's really one of the risks of seed oils is they're very fragile and they go rancid easily.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have to cover up that smell.
Mm-hmm.
with the chemicals.
Well,
terrible? I'm just dying to get a recipe. So let's start with crackers. Will you give us some ideas of how you make crackers?
My favorite one is when I juice my carrots, I keep all my carrot pulp.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got this recipe, and so I have the proportions. And I put ground up almonds in my food processor and Brazil nuts in my food processor, and that's protein base for it. Oh, and also a flaxseed ground up. And then I put several different kinds of spices in there and a cup of water and a cup of olive oil goes in that. So when I mix it up, I put a glove on and mix it up with my hands. And then it's almost like a dough. I spread that out on my dehydrator sheets. And it makes a big enough batch for four trays, so I get 36 crackers per tray, so it's a pretty good amount when I get done. And it takes about 24 hours to dehydrate them, because halfway in between you have to flip them off of the solid part of this tray. It's kind of like you peel it off, and then you score them and put them back in there on just mm-hmm. mesh tray. In fact, I'm on YouTube demonstrating some of that stuff.
Oh, tell us how you can do that.
In fact, I just checked it out this morning to make sure, you know, it was still there and everything. I just put Lois Anderson in there, and you have to scroll down quite a ways before you get to my spot. And it has my picture on there, and I have a kind of a pink flowered shirt on. And my hair is white, of course, if people don't know me. but there's about 10 different videos of my recipes that I've demonstrated on YouTube.
Oh, so there's no flour.
Mm-mm.
And they're dehydrated, not baked.
That's right. So they're all live.
Mm-hmm. So
that's my bread substitute, because I like to stay away from gluten.
Okay, so can you make some other kinds of bread then with this dough?
Yeah, I've got several. I've got one that's called onion bread. It's just you put the onions through your slicer on your food processor, slice them all up, and then there's flaxseed and sunflower seeds, and those all ground up with tamari as a seasoning. And there's tamari. I think there's only one other ingredient on that one. That one's a really easy. That goes on dehydrator too.
Yep, that would be good. Yeah.
But the sad part of it is, it's out of print. I can't get them anymore. But I've got about a dozen different flavors of crackers. I did some cheesy crackers, golden flax seeds. I did a living pizza crust. Red hot snackers, if you like hot stuff. I got rosemary crisps, rye bread, and sunny chia bread, besides the one that I told you that I make all the time with the carrot pulp.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're making a bread and not a cracker, are you just dehydrating less or what?
It's like a flat bread.
It's still pretty dry. Yeah, it's pretty dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want it dry, so it keeps.
Right.
The onion crackers aren't as dry as the first cracker I told you about. It's called an almond cracker. Carrot almond cracker.
Mm-hmm.
That one's really crispy.
Mm-hmm.
But the onion one is more moist. And some of the other ones are more moist, too.
Okay, so the way you're using grains is either sprouting them or You're not really making flour out of grain.
Mm-mm, no.
You're sprouting them. How else are you using grains? Because they are high in protein, right?
They don't agree with me, and it's not something that Hallou Yeager's really teaches to use.
Yeah.
Unless it's sprouted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Ken, I'm talking with Lois Anderson. She is a health minister with Hallou Yeager and a raw food chef. She teaches classes, and she also has some YouTubes, and you can find her by going to YouTube, scrolling down, finding Lois Anderson in a pink shirt, and there's about 10 videos of some of her recipes. You're listening to Who's in the Kitchen. I'm Philothea Beeson, and we're coming from Viroqua, Wisconsin, in the Driftless area, southwestern Wisconsin. This is Dirt Radio from the ground up, so I think my show just fits that to a T. And we have a few more minutes. I'd really love to talk about some more recipes.
Oh, sure.
You're going to have to really think of completely different menus with this diet.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I wrote down a list of things.
Great.
And some of them are very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are a little more.
A little more preparation.
A little more time to make them, you know. But a Waldorf salad, I just take one apple, one stalk of piece of celery, and about a half a cup of walnuts, chop that up, and put a mayo on. If you've got store-bought one, Veginase is a good brand.
Mm-hmm.
I make my own almond mayo, but if you want to get it from the store, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just peel two oranges and eat it like a half a cup of pecans with it. It's very delicious. I have a cauliflower, marinated cauliflower salad that has cauliflower, red and green bell pepper, onion, and black olives with a really light sauce on that. And that one will last several days because of it's marinated in lemon juice as well as other seasonings and oil.
Mm-hmm.
I have an awesome recipe that tastes like a dessert. It's called cranberry Waldorf salad. And, of course, it's got the apples and the oranges and the cranberries and the sauce that goes on it really makes it. It's oranges and cashews and honey whipped up in the blender, and that goes over the
yes.
That's really awesome.
Oranges. Now, you mentioned an almond mayo. Can you tell us how to make that?
Oh, sure. That one I use like one cup of almonds to one cup of water in the blender, and I let that soak for about a half an hour to soften them. And then it has a quarter of a cup of lemon juice and 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, 1 teaspoon of onion powder, quarter of a teaspoon of garlic powder, 1 teaspoon of salt, and a half a cup of extra virgin olive oil. And you put all that, blend that all together except the oil. And when the nuts and everything are blended up really good, then you slow the blender down. And you put the olive oil in, and then I put them in half pint jars. They're the mason jars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it in 3 jars because, you know, there's no preservative there to keep it very long. And so because you put it in a small jar, you're opening the lid for only a small amount, and the other 2 jars are kept tight until you need them.
They'll keep in the tightened lid. I was thinking maybe you freeze that, but you don't freeze it.
No, I don't freeze that, but I said, I've got this gadget that pulls the air out.
Yes, right. Yeah, what's that called again? I've seen those on the internet.
The newest one I got is really excellent. It's the best one I've ever found. I'll give you the name of it. And it comes with a dozen of the mason jar lids that's meant to, this is called, the company is called Pure Juicer.
Mm-hmm.
And you look that up on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got it not too long ago, and I really like
sort
it.
Sort of like
lot.
a vacuum
it's a
seal.
Vacuum sealer, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Oh, that sounds really good. I got a bunch of glass containers with nice lids that kind of slip on tightly. They're not tightly sealed, but they you know, just to put leftovers in. And I got those at the dollar store. So, you know, just for a dollar. And glass and a nice little ceiling lid, and they look pretty in the refrigerator, and you can serve right out of them, and, you know, or put leftovers in them. But some of, like, some of the things that you're saving, just, and, you know, save your jars. Well, you know, if you don't really even have to have mason jars, if you just, you know, just any jar that that you got pickles in or whatever, mustard or whatever, save the lid and use the glass jar instead of saving your cottage cheese containers and then freezing and, you know, storing stuff. And
of course, I don't do dairy, but
yes, right. But so many of us are dutifully saving all these so they don't go in the landfill. We're using them over and over, and really, it's not a good idea, because I guess plastic is always shedding microplastic.
That's right.
And various chemicals that are in the plastic. It really isn't good. And I stopped doing leftovers in those containers. Or saving your old sandwich bags is the same thing. Don't do that. Don't do it. Well, what do you wrap your food in? I guess it's mainly glass. Do you wrap some food in, I don't know, paper or wax paper or something?
It's all in glass. And I got these, I think they're made out of rubber. They're a lid that you can put on a bowl or something.
Oh, yeah, kind of like a shower cap.
And I would wrap my watermelon, after you cut it, with the saran wrap. I got to thinking, that's not a good idea. So I got my rubber lid out, and I just put it on top of my watermelon.
On the cut melon. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, they're kind of like shower caps. They have elastic, and they kind of cling.
No, this one is just flat rubber, and I've got them in different sizes. I got a couple of round ones, different. Mm-hmm. I got them from, trying to think of the company that I got it from, Norwex. Have you ever heard of Norwex products?
Yeah,
Oh, I have all kinds of their products, because they're those you use over and over, and because they had the silver in them, you know, they're sterilizing the surfaces that you wipe. But I got my I guess they're called silicone tops from them.
Okay, silicone. I guess silicone is supposedly better than plastic.
Yeah, at least I don't think it would peel off. Anyway.
I know there's been a lot of greenwashing and claiming that things are biodegradable and all that, you know. And that's not always true. Sometimes things are biodegradable in a special facility that there's only two of them in the United States, and they're not in your backyard. And so read the labels. Where is it compostable? Most things that say compostable are still recognizable 3 years later in your compost pile.
No.
So don't use compostable forks. That's really kind of just really a lie. And so there are some there are some compostable bags that are supposedly made of vegetable material and will disintegrate in your compost pile. But, you know, you just really have to read the labels, the tiny print, to find out, you know, what's really true, because, you know, they'll have all kinds of pictures of leaves and wild animals and things like that makes you feel like this is really natural, right? Really safe. You know, marketing is very clever, and they pick up on what people are looking for. So you can be really conscientious in trying to buy things that are safe and find out that there's deception going on.
Yes.
Or we call it greenwashing or green wishing.
Yeah.
Green wishing. So we're talking with Lois Anderson. I find this is just a really, you know, interesting topic. She's really into raw foods. And so she says 85% raw and 15% cooked. So let's talk about what can be cooked and how would you cook it.
Any kind of vegetable or any kind of legume.
You don't want to eat raw legumes. They're not edible.
No. When I was cooking them, I soaked them first for the 8 hours, got rid of that water, and put fresh water on and put in my pressure cooker. They claim that that's the best way to get rid of anything that's bad on legumes. And And then I once I get done cooking them in the pressure cooker, it only takes about 5 minutes once you get them in the pressure cooker.
Oh, my goodness.
I freeze them in pint-sized containers.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I need some, I just take them out of the freezer.
Oh, then they're ready to go for the next recipe.
Yeah, or when I make a soup or my husband wants tacos, beans on his tacos and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I got to tell you about one more meal that's really cool.
Okay.
That is really easy. I take one of my crackers, and I put the little tomatoes. Roma tomatoes. Mm-hmm. A little slice of Roma tomato on the top, with a little bit of mayo and a piece of lettuce on the top, and that's my bacon lettuce tomato sandwich. Bacon is out of the question, of course.
Sounds bacon.
What do you do with the things that you used to like? You know, so I have to make up stuff like that.
I see. Yeah, I love watercress sandwiches with just watercress and mayo. I mean, they're really good. So I'll try that with a cracker.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good things that you can put together. I guess cucumbers and other nice vegetables for a little. The BLT. Okay. How do you? Let's see. What could we put in there that would be sort of that salty? You could use your onion cracker. I suppose that would be good.
Before I quit eating dill pickles, I put a thin slice of dill pickle in there with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, pickles, you would not do those anymore? That is a way of preserving raw, right?
I found out that I'm histamine intolerant, and I can't have anything fermented or anything with vinegar in it.
Oh, my goodness, because a lot of people could do that. They could tolerate.
Oh, yes.
And fermented is a great way of preserving things. It's live food.
It is. I agree with you. But in your case, negative effect on me.
Well, that's something to know about. I've also read on the internet about lectins.
Yes.
And apparently that's in peels and coatings of seeds and things like that. And so some people are, I don't know, allergic or something to lectins. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to know if that was affecting your health. But yeah, there's all kinds of diseases that people have, you know, like autoimmune diseases where something is making your body really react to itself in a way.
Well, I had to get rid of the nightshades, too, with this.
Okay, nightshades. Mm-hmm. No nightshades.
I went on what they call the low histamine diet for at least 3 weeks, and that kind of resets your body, and now I'm able to add in like tomatoes, and a few raw things. Cooked things, high histamine, I still can't eat. But the raw things, I can start adding those back to my diet and see how that affects me.
Uh-huh. Well, that's an interesting tip. I've had a couple of shows on for people who really are suffering from, you know, chronic diseases that seem to be related to food, but boy, you have to be a food detective to figure out what it is that in the food or in the processing that's making you sick. Mm-hmm. But at least we're looking at food as maybe the source of some of these illnesses.
Absolutely.
We didn't used to. I mean,
no,
you're
I know.
Really, you're a food minister, it's health minister. It's like food is medicine.
It is.
But we haven't known enough about the foods to actually be, you know, ministering to ourselves with them.
Yeah. I think it's all these processed foods that's really gotten us.
Well, yeah.
You know, because we used to, when I was growing up, we ate out of the garden. Most of it was out of the garden.
Right. Oh, I wanted to go back to that mayonnaise recipe for a minute, because you said you started with almonds. So are you peeling the almonds, or you soak them and peel them, or did you use the peels, you use the skins?
I never take the skins off.
Okay. Okay. Do you make milks out of different seeds and nuts?
I do. I like the coconut milk the best, and so that's what I've been making, but you can with any nuts and seeds, because my recipe for the coconut milk called for pouring boiling water over the shredded coconut and letting it soak. I think it was an hour. And then you um, put it, put it, first you blend it after it's soaked, then you blend it, and then you put it through the milk bag and you know, squeeze all the milk out of the coconut. And then what I did was I started with 2 cups of water and 1 cup of coconut, and then when I squeezed that out, then I put 2 more cups of water in it, so it makes 1 quart.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so tastes so much better than the stuff you get in the store. But you can do that with nuts too.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Soak them, you know, and blend them, and then put them through the milk bag.
So that's a kind of a mesh, really fine mesh.
Mm-hmm.
And then do you save the coconut for something else?
Somebody said I was supposed to save it, but I don't know what to do with it. Somebody said make cookies out of it.
Well, I think so. You could probably make you can make a cookie out of that, couldn't you? Okay, let's talk about sweeteners. Okay, you use fruit for sweeteners. Is that so?
Dates and maple syrup are my 2 main ones, and honey are the 3 that I use for a sweetener.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some coconut sugar, but I don't use that real often. I just like the flavor of these other ones better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet you could make something good out of that coconut. We can't let that go to waste.
I stuck it in my freezer. One badge.
Oh, this is just...
You know what? I could go on Pinterest, couldn't I? Figure something out.
It's all on the internet. You gotta sort it out. But okay, so I thought, yeah, that's really interesting. I was trying to make sort of a cheese.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make something sort of cheesy? Oh, do you use nutritional yeast?
I used to, until I found out how highly processed it was.
Oh.
And what it does to your brain.
No kidding.
I know. I have some really good recipes for a cheese that's sliceable and shreddable.
Really?
And I've got another recipe for a sauce, but you leave that nutritional yeast out and it doesn't taste right.
No. Now,
I used to make a really nice kale chips with a cheesy sauce over it. I thought, I don't want my brain to get these little crystallized things in there.
Mm.
I threw it all out.
Oh, dear.
Now,
what about tofu? Do you ever do anything with tofu?
I guess it's okay. I've never really used it that much.
I mean, it is sort of processed. I know somebody who makes his own tofu. You know, I mean, that would be, you could do that. But, I mean, it is sort of a processed thing, but it's something from soybeans. I mean, right?
It is.
And
I've
made...
heard it's okay. I just have never gotten into it.
Mm-hmm. I did make sort of a fake cheese out of tofu.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and you could just kind of blend it up and add some other things that are safe and... And
yep.
You can make like a little flavored cheese, like you're adding a little onion powder or some herbs or something like that. It was kind of tolerable. I was using it as, you know, with like on a sandwich with other things. And because sandwiches, we're not doing bread anymore. Oh,
no.
I guess you can put fillings in a lettuce leaf or something like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
One of the things I like to make is, you know, those spring rolls. Of course, spring rolls are made out of rice skins, but I suppose that would be okay. You roll up, you know, raw vegetables and a nut butter. So you make nut butters?
I used to. My husband really liked them, but now I'm doing it different. I'm not using my Champion anymore, and that's how I made my nut butter.
I see. You know, at the Viroga Food Co-op, they have a machine. Just put the nuts in it, it comes out butter.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Yeah, so you can just bring your jars and just make it right there on the spot.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a company out here, and I think this is an American hazelnut company, is located in Gays Mills, Wisconsin.
Really?
And these are people that grow hazelnuts, mm-hmm. and the co-op or a corporation is developing recipes. They make their own hazelnut oil, cold press hazelnut oil, and hazelnut butters, and different ideas of using hazelnuts, which are a wonderful, crop that we can grow in Wisconsin. It's really great.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's, look for that at the food co-op. I know they have their products there. You can buy a kit that has hazelnut flour, hazelnut butter, hazelnut oil in a little kit. Very nice, and has a little hazelnut flavor, you know. It's not too strong. It's not too strong.
Well, that's
but,
good.
Yeah. So, well,
Can I give you one more book that I think it would really help?
Okay.
Because this is, this doctor is really the science behind the plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm.
The book is called China Steady, and it's written by Dr. T. Colin Campbell. He's a research scientist from Cornell University.
Mm-hmm.
And his big thing was he was researching to see what kind of proteins were the best and how much protein was the best. And he, in his book, he says, I can turn cancer off and I can turn it on by the type of protein you eat and the amount of protein that you eat.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Now, let's just go over that again. It's China Steady?
The name of the book is China Steady.
Why is that?
He went over to China to do the study.
Oh, steady or study?
S-T-U-D-Y.
Oh, okay. Study. And his name is Campbell with a P-B-E-L-L?
C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L.
And his initials?
T colon.
Oh.
His middle name is C-O-L-I-N, but he goes by colon.
I see. Okay. Well, that sounds really, really interesting. Boy, this hour has gone by so fast. I've been talking with Lois Anderson, and she is she's devoted herself in her, you know, the second half of her life to raw food and, you know, all its healing qualities. Anne has had, you know, personal experience with it, with herself and her own family. And she's from Port Edwards. We've been talking on the phone, and I've really enjoyed our interview. Thanks so much, Lois.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Lois Anderson. Thanks so much. And we've been talking about a plant-based diet for health and healing. And you've been listening to Who's in the Kitchen on WDRT 91.9 FM, streaming live on the internet at WDRT.org. You can go to archives, and Lois, you can go to the archives too and listen to this show.
Yes, I wrote that all down because I've got friends that would like to hear this.
You bet. Let them know. So go to WDRT.org, then look for Who's in the Kitchen, you know, talk shows. And these are archived for, you know, I don't know, eternity. I mean, they don't there's no deadline. So you can check them 2 or 3 weeks later, or a couple of months later, and look up Lois Anderson for the plant-based diet for health. And again, thanks to you, Lois, and thanks to all my listeners for tuning in, and we'll be talking next week.